Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh, well, hello, the internet, and welcome to season 94, episode 3 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. And look, this is a podcast we do every day where we take a bone saw, cut open the top of America's skull, look in there, look at the brain, look at the soul, and then say off the rip, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News, aka the new NRA, actually, if you listen to half the talking points they have. It's Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. My name is Miles Gray, aka the Tuscan Toker, and I would like to thank Paul Garaventa for that short aka. I know it wasn't a full-on Hall & Oates song, but, you know, that speaks to my heart when I talk about it. And I won't get into Tuscany quite yet. Maybe later. And also, I just want to mention, rest in peace to Toni Morrison, a great author. And she will be very missed. She was 88 years old. If you are not familiar with Toni Morrison's work, go try it. Go try it out. Go, if you haven't read Beloved, read it. Great stream of consciousness, right? Anyway, let's get to the guest host. Because as you know, Daddy's gone. So the sub is bringing in his weird friends that he works on weird trucks with out back. And his first guest co-host today is none other than one of the faces on Mount Zeitmore. Welcome, Billy Wayne Davis.
Hey, guys. It's good to be here. I like the Tuscan Toker.
Thank you.
I can be your Midnight Toker.
All right. And like you can be the, what, Tennessee Toker?
Oh, I like that, yeah. Too. I was the Tennessee Toker.
A lot of alliterative AKAs. And we are thrilled to be joined by another legend of the show. Frequent guest, but not frequent enough, I may say, myself. Please welcome the hilariously talented and just overall, you know, I've actually learned a lot of things about how you interact with your dog that I've taken on with my dog. Amazing dog parent, Caitlin Gill.
That's me, Caitlin Guilty Pleasure.
You know, I used to be like, when my dog would bark, I'd be like, hey, come on now. Come on. And I saw you one time talk to your dog where you say, I know what you're doing. I said, I get you want to protect. I see.
Yeah.
And you were understanding.
Yeah.
And I created a debate between my animal. And I picked that up from you. I just want to tell you, I picked that up. I like it. It's a method I use now.
Why, thank you. I always tell her she's not crazy. She's just wrong. She's right. There is a noise.
Yeah, there is. Right.
But
exactly.
She is wrong. She does not need to
There's
worry
no danger.
About it.
Right. I'm like,
fine.
We're all good. That's what I said. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah,
you
good
did
job.
Your purpose, but you
did
know
the
what?
Thing.
We're good.
Thank
but
you
also,
is the
shut
right.
up.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Also, yeah.
And
it's very jarring when I'm smoking weed and watching 90 Day Fiancé when you're barking all the time. And
well, it's
yes,
that
we're talking
thing
to Major
of
Hot Lips who is your dog.
That's my
recognizing the breed.
Yeah.
And LA is the mecca of not recognizing dog breeds.
Oh, man. There are so many huskies wandering around the city.
Huskies,
just like, how did I get here?
I need to run
yes.
so much.
Yeah.
It's so hot here. or beagles
oh,
for a
like
while.
How
beagles
to take
are,
care of your
oh,
dog.
Man, yeah.
No, they get the dog because they like the way they look.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
And then they're like, why is this beagle so loud in this house? And you're like, because it needs
it's
to be
a beagle.
It needs to be chasing animals in the woods, letting you know where it's at.
Right.
And that's why it's loud.
See, that's
so
why
you can
mutts-
go shoot the thing it found.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be an apartment on Cahuenga.
Yeah.
Ooh. Respect to the pronunciation.
Thank you.
Cahuenga.
Thank you.
Anyway, Caitlin, we're going to get to know you even better. But let's preview a little bit about what we're going to be talking about. Just talking about college campuses are the new malls. You know what I mean? We're already broke when we leave college campuses, so why not throw more money away while you're there just trying to educate yourself to compete in this modern workplace when it's all an illusion anyway? But look, that's a whole other podcast. Also, we're going to just take a second to tell the New York Times, come the fuck on. What is going on your front page? Do you not read the world events? Anyway, that's a whole other part. Then just a discussion on the GOP and their inability to recognize that something isn't working and trying to fix it. It's more just like, oh, there's a wall. Let's hit the accelerator harder and then maybe we'll break it down rather than just destroying the car we're in.
It's like they learned from the Democrats, and it is an impressive lesson to learn.
Yeah.
But different problems.
Exactly.
Same symptoms.
Yeah, Democrats are like, oh, God, should we change that? And then it's like,
oh, I'm uncomfortable. Maybe
we don't
they don't want to change as much as they're telling us they want to change.
Right. I mean, I didn't think there was anything wrong to begin with, but I guess I can hear your point here.
It's just loud that it's both sides in power. It's people that don't want to lose their power.
Yeah, it's, absolutely. It's done different ways.
It's just the same thing. It's like, well, I keep pushing this button, and I keep getting to do what I want to do. And it was on both sides.
Yeah. Luckily now, I guess the lack of empathy is starting to affect the Republican side of the equation. Maybe, maybe not, because who knows? It is a constantly evolving hellscape.
Well, I think it's the thing with the Republican. My thing is, like, their whole thing is fucking over their own people.
Right.
So you can only do that for so long before the people are like, oh, you... they realize they got fucked.
Yeah.
And we'll get into a shelf life.
Many people are being fucked right now by this administration. And then... there's a new podcast out talking about Jared and Ivanka. It's called Tabloid, The Making of Ivanka Trump. But there's a lot of interesting interviews in it.
I yawned so hard I broke my jaw. I don't know what happened.
You're speaking, actually, your pronunciation's amazing for having an unhinged jaw.
Yeah, it's tough and I can't see because my eyes just rolled
major.
Back so far in my head that I can only see my own brain and it's just screaming.
As from the D12 song, Purple Hills or Purple Pills, you want to roll away like a rollerblade till your eyes roll back in your skull for days.
Yes. Yeah, correct. That is
rest
the
in
right.
peace to Proof, who I believe said that rhyme. So anyway, in this thing, it's a lot of no shit stuff, but it's just kind of interesting when there's always things you can observe and say, of course that's what's happening. And then when you start hearing interviews that back it up, you're like, of course it was happening. And then also, you know, we didn't get to this yesterday, but I do want to talk, you know, there are many animals in here that have been rescued. And Aaron Carter, he was in a little bit of hot water because people think he's flipping dogs that he rescues. It's very petty, but I just want to discuss it. And also, yo, avocados are so expensive. Some places are thinning out their guac with another ingredient. And I just want people to be aware of what's going on because these are the end days. Okay.
I know. Well,
I was gonna
maybe
say,
it was, right?
I was like, yeah.
unless it's like you're at El Torito Grill or Cantina where they'll make it right there tableside.
I think capitalism is
that capitalism is thinning out our guac.
I think it is.
So off the top, Caitlin, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, geez. I did I have looked up so much about what dogs can and should eat. This dog eats a whole lot of, she wants a varied diet, so anything you get, she just stops eating after about the third feeding.
Oh, really? Like any pet food?
Yes. So my search history is basically like, will my dog like this dog food, and where can I donate this dog food my dog didn't like?
You can't even, because you rotate, like, once she doesn't like another, you're like, oh, I got that one for 3 months ago.
There's no other option.
But could it have been, if you just keep leaving the same food there? She would eat
right,
it
that's
eventually.
What, that's
there
what
is the starve
say,
amount
right?
Strategy, yes.
Yeah. But you're too soft for that?
I am too soft
for
that.
Yeah.
It also just stops working where she'll win. She would.
You think she'll just perish? She'll wither away and just be like, "I'm so you did."
But does she win? Because she dies.
Yeah. No, she wouldn't die. She'd just eat. She would never stop bitching. She would never give in. There'd be a lot of barking and slapping the bowl. She'd eat it, but it would be with protest. And that's not how I just don't. I'm too soft.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I think that's the more than like you could still just be like you can bitch, but you, this is what we're eating. It's like you're just like a single mother.
It's true.
And things have really went off the rails.
And right? Thinking of myself as a child and the stubborn fits I put up, like when I didn't want to eat a food, she learned it from watching me. But I don't know how she wasn't there then, but she did. The other thing I guess was it's kind of revealing is that. I do have saved in my phone an embryo comparison chart just mm-hmm. because of the number of times I have discussed the fact that all embryos of all creatures look pretty much the same at some stage of development and felt the need to prove it by showing people in chart form.
And so what kind of conversation was this born out of?
Oh, man. It's always like, you know, just high enough to get into my, you know, theories that are that seem to matter at the time.
Right, right.
Or like, you know, it feels like enough of a mind-blowing fact. Yeah.
Right.
No, I mean,
we're all one and connected.
Yeah, there's that, yeah. But it's always some discussion about animals and how alike to animals we are, and like we're so alike to animals that
we look
the same at early stages in our development.
But I agree with that. But I think for humans, we're so much like animals because we're all mimics. As a species, we just look at other things and copy them so well.
Uh-huh.
That's where we've developed a lot of our because I just think we're aliens.
I think everything's innate. This is usually how the conversation. This is
okay,
this
I
answers
like this.
Your question. Uh-huh. Is the conversation gets started like that? Yeah,
I think we're aliens. What do you think, Caitlin?
We're just sacks of meat that carry around the 40 germ cells that determine what. There's 40 germ cells that basically determine what your junk is going to be, which to me matters because like that's setting up to make the next generation, and those are viral germ cells. They are not of us. They are not of here.
Oh yeah,
and
this
we
is from
are
a
the meat sacks that carry
to,
them
right?
around. Yes,
I remember this.
This is how it comes up enough, but it is the
what was the podcast again?
It's Radiolab's Gonads series.
That's
the first episode in it. But yeah, the embryo comparison chart is some evidence to just like, oh, there's a bunch of germs that just recreate sacks to live in.
Is that every?
And that's what we're here.
Yeah,
yeah, that's.
How many different species am I looking at right
now? Across the top is fish, salamander, tortoise, chicken, pig, cow, rabbit, and human. And they are essentially just all
exactly the same. Oh, man. We're all just weird seahorses with a chihuahua.
It's a little H.R. Geiger alien twist. It's kind of, it looks a bit like a chestburster.
Yeah.
And if you break it down even smaller, we're like these little tiny cells and atoms that are in like carbon-based and shit like that.
Yeah.
You want to go really far.
We ain't from here.
Yeah, it's the same fucking thing.
We are sacks that carry around the stuff that ain't from here. We're how they live here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like human, and we love to personify animals a lot too. I think that, I mean, there's some comedians, that's their whole thing is just personifying an animal.
I'll still laugh at Jim Brewer's goat boy.
It's fucking funny as shit.
Wait, are there people still doing bits like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Is someone doing a 2019 goat boy?
I heard last night.
Yeah, I
look like a bird. Like,
you
laugh at the dumb bird. I've done a couple, I'm sure.
I mean, most of Gaffigan's stuff, and I love Gaffigan, is
Noble
personifying later. Things that don't have a personality.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what he does.
Yes.
Not to break it down, but he's genius.
Yeah.
But that is, it's very funny the way he does it. But that's, I think that's.
That comes from that. We're all connected. And I think, and also we have an overwhelmingly amount of similar genetic material in common with most animals anyway, where it's like, it only varies at these like very specific points. Anyway, so we're all one and we're all on Molly right
now. And I will show you on my phone. With very little provocation. In fact, I have the tab open, ready to show
right,
you
always,
how alike we are. I guess that's sort of revealing.
Yeah, but that's a good place to come from. What's something that's overrated?
Heartless nostalgia. I'm so weirded out by the... I myself am wearing throwback Reeboks currently. I have a old-timey diner shirt on.
Well, Cantor's Deli gets respect in this office.
Yes,
you know
Cantor's
I mean?
Deli
it's not a throwback. It's still going on.
It's still. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
but
these
Cantor's
sneakers are coming around again.
Yes,
these are replicated 80s
sneakers. Your sneakers more accurate than the shirt.
The shirt, yes,
because the shirt's still kind of the same fucking place it's always been.
But exactly.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's true. It's not throwing back to anything. I just mean like having movie theaters have exactly the same titles as in 1993. the like predatory nostalgia where it's just like, oh, you're 35 plus now, so things from 20 years ago are now in a market that you can buy again, so we're going to sell you Trapper Keepers.
Yeah, right.
And
shit you couldn't afford when you didn't have spending
t-shirts.
Power.
Hypercolor t-shirts, exactly.
Well, and Sugar Ray and all this band is going to tour on this big tour.
Yeah, it hurts my brain.
Sugar Ray is what?
It's like when they like putting salt and pepper with all those 90s.
Is that a tour?
When they
happening?
Tried to do Lil Wayne and Blink 182.
Yeah, that did not go well.
Yeah, no. Exactly. Because it's not true nostalgia. It's not true like feeling.
Yeah,
it's
it was
like
a pure
horrible
cash grab. It's like, I think we can turn out enough people if we put Blink 182 and Lil Wayne on the same bill.
Yes.
They both bands play guitar equally as well. So maybe it makes sense.
And they like skateboarding for some reason.
Also,
that's
Lil
the
Wayne's
only
guitar
thing
playing.
I could tie in to them being together. I was like, skateboards?
Well,
I don't know.
He almost quit like the third show.
Yes.
Because he was like, I've
this
never seen
me.
A crowd
I've
like
made
this.
A huge mistake.
Yeah, he was like, this is not my crowd. Uh-oh.
And
yeah,
he's such an artist,
Blink
he just said it.
Playing. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's the thing. It's like, Lil Wayne is an artist where it's like, as soon as he felt that it was in front of 20,000 people, he's like,
I'm sorry.
This is a bad idea.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you guys. And then the next day, someone showed him the numbers. He's like, hey, we're still going to do it.
Hey, man, you know, had a rough night, but I'm back, baby. Wheezy F Baby is in the building.
For another week or so.
Yeah.
Before I leave the building again.
Yeah, until I really realize that cash can't fill every void.
Well, it's what
soul.
I understand exactly what you're saying. It's frustrating because it's Stuart Lee, you know that comedian from the UK?
Yes.
He's brilliant. He has this little small part about, he's like, I like finding records, old record. I like the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, well, you can go online and find this one. He was like,
that's not the point. Yeah.
But it's, that's what they're doing.
Yes.
Is they're madmening that feeling of finding something in an antique store or at a flea market where you're like, oh, that He-Man, oh, that makes me think of when I was 2 or something, you know?
Definitely.
And instead of just like, they're manufacturing that feeling
for us. There's that packaged feeling, most certainly. There's also like watching Aladdin, The Lion King, and all these Disney movies come out and not make a splash is this other thing where like what you liked was good enough. And you don't have to try to like anything else. Like, forget going to the movies to see an original story. Go see this same thing, but just a little tiny touch different.
Right.
Like,
well, they know that people
but
they will,
did make
and they
money,
made a
though,
bazillion
in all
money.
They did make a splash.
Well, Disney's zillion thing has always
been manipulation.
Whether or not
Disney made money. Yeah, but Disney, all entertainment is manipulation. Not all nostalgia is bad. But when nostalgia is only manipulative,
right.
That's bad.
No, I agree. But I think Disney's thing is like, even before the Lion King stuff, they would put Cinderella the cartoon on the shelf for 20 years and then bring it out again on VHS or then let it sit for, you know, put it out for 6 months.
So finally, it's back. We can buy it finally.
That is manufactured entertainment and true nostalgia.
That's what they're
totally
doing.
Works.
What's the thing what's the thing you've been suckered into where the predatory nostalgia got you and you're like, damn it, they got me. They knew exactly what it was.
Oh, man. I don't know. It probably happens more than I care to admit. Oh, I bought a bag of Cheetos because the bag was the same
retro.
As the old bag of Cheetos.
Yep.
Yeah, it works. I'm not, I know what I'm doing, though. I'm
of
also
course,
buying
of
Cheetos.
Course.
It's
but,
the same poison in a different
but
package.
But I'm just more, I like to, I want to know, like, in your brand, like, what that thing was where they're like, you know what? I like that old Cheeto bag.
That got me. It did get me. Yes.
What about you, Billy?
It just.
I'm trying to, the last one that only, it was when I was still drinking soda, was Mountain Dew came out with the old design, which is that hillbilly or whatever. But their kick was it had real sugar in it.
Right.
So then I was like, oh, shit.
That's the thing I'm always a sucker for when the soda's like, with sugar. I'm like, hell yes. I don't even drink fucking soda, but I'm like, suddenly I love fucking Pepsi throwback.
Because it makes you high.
Yeah,
yes, it does.
Exactly. What is something that's underrated?
Eating alone.
Mm.
Eat alone all the time.
Oh, I totally agree.
It's the fucking best. It weirds me out when people are like, I can't. I couldn't. People will look at me. Like,
or
what are you? No.
You're like, where are you going? You're like, oh, I'm going to go get something to eat. You're like, you want company? You're like,
No.
I'm just going to go eat. And they're like, are you okay? And you're like, oh, I'm great.
Yes.
I eat alone mostly at home sometimes when I'm cooking, and Her Majesty's at work still. But I don't actually, I can't. The last time I was in a restaurant by myself was in Japan, actually, a while back.
I was going to say travel does it. Like,
a lot of people eat by themselves in Japan.
And they have restaurants that are sort of set up that way, right?
For like one person to look at a wall. You can read your manga or your look on your phone or whatever. Do you look at your phone? Do you read a book? What do you do? Are you just there?
Depends on where I'm at.
Down?
Yeah.
If it's like a people watching place, I'll sit there and eat for a long time.
And just
I don't like to work in public. That's strange. Like, my wife likes to go to, like, a coffee shop that's busy,
mm-hmm.
and people are coming in and out, and she's like, I like to work there. I'm like, I would get nothing done.
just too much distraction?
I need to watch what everyone's doing. I mean, there's a reason I lean to being a comedian is because I've already watching people.
Right.
But, yeah, like, and then some places, yeah, you're just reading.
Yeah.
Well, Caitlin, if they're for listeners out there who might not be open to having a dinner alone or a meal alone, sell them on it.
Oh, the pleasure, the relaxation. If you're worried about that feeling that, like, it's noticeable, it just isn't.
Yeah, I've never
Nobody
been like,
cares. No server is going to be like, oh, is your you're eating coming? Alone?
Right.
On the, does that hurt your heart?
Nobody's going to. Thursday?
Gonna, you get whatever you want. Yeah, I think it's just, you never have to, especially if you're hungry, waiting for someone is just, it's the worst.
Or like waiting in between bites to like talk. Sometimes like, let's just eat this shit.
Yeah,
and then we
just,
talk after.
Yes. When it like eating is also a physical function that you need.
Right.
So enjoy it, relax, don't compromise in any part of it and just have it all your little own.
Fuck the formality.
And what's a myth? What's a myth? What's something people get wrong that you wanna hip them to the truth?
Save it for a rainy day. Spend it, baby. The world's over. And once it's raining that hard, money ain't going to matter.
Hell yeah. Spend
you
it all.
You think that's a myth?
What?
Saving for a rainy day.
You think saving for a rainy day is a myth?
No, I just had to think of something. Oh, that okay. I had a fun quippy thing for it.
Oh, well, because I mean,
is that how you feel?
Well, no, I just think I'm just curious, like that. I wasn't mad or anything. I'm just more curious, like the thought process have been like. I think as comedians, we definitely think that way, especially early in our career, where it's like we have to just take anything we can give and just put it right back into it, but then. I also think, like, me and my friend Matt call it crying in the shower,
mm-hmm.
when you're just crying in the shower in a hotel room because you're like, the math doesn't work.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that is a different problem. Yes, yeah. I mean, aside from the existential crisis of a comedian who you've never heard of and therefore I have money that I have never heard of, what I'm talking about is rainy day.
Sure.
Let's key in on that one word in what I have declared to be a myth. Uh-huh. Like, if we're really talking, I'm applying the catastrophic
your
meaning
rainy day
to
is
rain.
An apocalypse.
Yeah, I'm talking about like climate change rainy day.
Well, you mean someone unplugs electricity, that kind of
yes, that kind of rainy day. I mean that in the horrors that are coming, your money will not save you.
Wow.
So have fun while we got fun to have.
Like the illusion of what our money is. So when comes, like the only thing that will matter is the knowledge and ability you have.
When we live in Waterworld and we're all Kevin Costner drinking our own pee, your interest rate isn't going to matter.
And we're all speaking Portuguese.
Right.
My only advice to that would be collect gold.
Yeah.
Because that will be that will actually still be worse.
I didn't understand that for so long. Like, I thought humans were dumb because we liked shiny gold.
Yeah, no.
But I didn't understand that gold is right in the middle of the periodic table of elements. It's just rare enough to be found everywhere, but hard enough to be find to be rare. It's on a short list of things that isn't a vapor, isn't toxic, is malleable.
Yep.
It has a natural intrinsic value
It conducts, electricity. It does a lot of interesting.
That rainy day sort of idea, too, is sort of built on this like deferred gratification thing of like, well, toil now and you can be happy later.
Right.
Or this idea that like right now, like it might, you know, save it up or, you know, defer that gratification for later because you never know what's going to happen. And I think that's the other thing we kind of get wrong is like, we need to be happy right now.
Right.
Well, it's
not necessarily
thing.
A function of
it comes
economy
from
either. But
an agriculture where it's like, yo, you need to save because, yes, we're feasting right now. But because the crops,
famine.
Yes, shit could come and we don't have this.
Absolutely.
It's like, I think that's where it comes from. And now we have a plethora of all the shit.
Right.
So much shit, it's going to kill us.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, save your actual money. Of course, I'm not saying go spend your... I'm just saying metaphorically.
Sure.
But when it really becomes a rainy day, all that shit you saved isn't what you actually
need. You better bought a boat.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
It's like, well, I got 3 Vizios.
Yeah.
You're like, well, you should have bought 3
Can those
boats.
Float? Yeah, I think the other thing, I think, yeah, there was, what the fuck was the book called? It's a book by, I forget, one of the people who works in positive psychology, you know, like not looking at all of the ills of like our mental health, but the ways we can sort of hypercharge our psychology for good.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest things is like this fallacy that people think when you're successful, you're happy, versus that many successful people are happy first, and that was the sort of the environment in which their success grew out of.
Yes.
Versus this idea of like, well, fuck, when I'm successful, then I'll be happy. And they're like, no.
Nope.
You're energetically putting the cart directly in front of the horse.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's that, what they say too, like people, when they get famous, they just become an exaggerated version of who they were before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it really is true. I know people that were miserable before they got famous, and now they're just even
a
more.
A bigger kind of miserable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And then the people that were happy before, and now they have all the stuff, and they're like super happy.
Right.
So I think that is very true. Like, it's a decision you make every morning when you wake up.
Get happy, y'all. All right. With that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Break it.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang?
I know I do.
Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Way. And we're back. And really quickly, there was an article in BuzzFeed that was talking about the future of malls might be on college campuses, which is so fucking amazing. So American that I can't believe it. We've talked in the past about how the traditional mall is dying because of e-commerce and the fact that the just general brokenness of these newer generations, ourselves included. But the way retailers are kind of, you know, finding a way to survive, it says go right to the doorstep of these broke-ass kids, which is on a college campus or right in or around a college campus in the city. And so, a lot, like, these are the new hot locations for, you know, trying to form consumption habits in these young adults very early. So you have, like, Target, Urban Outfitters, even fucking Lululemon.
And building debt while you do.
Of course, Lululemon.
Exactly.
Yeah, the credit card applications are right in there. The stand outside.
Well, and they know
yeah.
that you've got free money because you've taken out these loans to get into this school. So you've got most of that money is to live on. It's not even for the tuition.
Right.
So then you can spend all this money. It's not yours. You're going to pay back it.
Anyway, but give it to us for now.
And then what they've also done is they've looked at airports. And they're like, where are people trapped? And
yeah.
And then they're like, oh, let's create a mall in the airport. And that's what most airports are
Although,
malls now.
That Harley-Davidson store at LAX, not doing too well.
Good.
I'm just sorry. But there are certain ones.
Because it's not in the Southwest terminal.
Have you seen any?
Why would you not? Why would you?
Have you seen any thriving, though, like airport stores?
Chick-fil-A.
No, like a retail operation.
The one
Hudson
that's,
News, baby.
Well, I was going to say Hudson News, and then the one that has all the headphones and stuff. That one's, they keep popping up.
Oh, my God. I had to get a fucking charging cable.
See?
They fucking $28. Got you by the fucking balls and gametes in this motherfucker.
Then they pull that charging cable tighter and they just rip your balls off.
Exactly. Snapped right off.
After you paid them for it.
Exactly. They said, you want a receipt? I said, yes. He snatched my sack off like a paper towel and handed it to me. So anyway, I digress. The thing that's interesting is, like, a lot of the data, though, that especially Target has been looking at is that, like, wait a second. These smaller format stores are performing very well. They have one. They had their first small format store near the University of Minnesota in 2014. And since then, 98 small of these, like, mini Targets, I think they're like city Targets, they call them around here.
Mm-hmm.
26 of them are near college or university campuses. And they just say, like, the customers shop more frequently because it's like the selection is smaller, but they're always going to get the things they need there because they have just enough selection where a lot of the students are like, well, it's close and it has most of what I need. And it's kind of cheap.
And it's big. It's a big Walgreens.
Yeah.
They also don't have money or time to go anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing is at USC.
They have time.
They've completely turned USC like into like the Americana. Well, not the Americana, but like they've converted the village.
You can't compare USC to any other university.
I know, but of course, that's what I'm saying.
I'm about to rain on them, and I'm going to get some hate mail for no reason. Not worth engaging.
I mean, I think most USC students who are reasonable and know what the legacy of USC is can know that it's a rich kid school.
Just crank out young
Republicans. That's fine.
Yes.
And some great film school talents, too.
And for kids overseas whose parents own industries.
Exactly.
They can come get a degree.
Exactly.
That they don't really need because they already know what they're going to do.
Right. And at the USC one, it's like, you know, a lot of people are like, yo, you're just gentrifying this area much quicker. And they're like, well, no, we're going to, like, 30% of the people we hire will be low income. And then we're also going to prioritize people within a 5-mile radius.
Of course, 30% of the people you hire are going to be low income. 30% of the people you hire clean up shit and you treat them like they have no dignity.
Well, but I use that stat, though, and that
sounds
good.
Yes.
No, but I mean, that's like the thing. It's like, loophole. We already do. I think. The other criticism, too, is like some students who aren't as privileged as the other ones, maybe your typical SC student, are saying, like, I don't have money to shop at some of these retailers. Like, these aren't really necessarily for college students. But again, you know.
Yeah.
It's for rich kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's for, like, it's weird. Like, I remember, didn't you have a meal plan when you went to school?
Yeah.
I had a meal plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, like, I walked to that USC one because there's an Amazon store you can drop stuff off.
Right.
Return it. It's a nightmare to get to. I only did it once.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is a trap.
Not worth returning. This
no.
is how they get you.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm now keeping this shoe that doesn't fit.
Exactly. Yes. But there's a Trader Joe's there.
Two right shoes.
Yes.
So many restaurants on the campus that I was like, oh, this is, I never, maybe once a week I would go to a restaurant that I worked at.
Right.
Right.
Because I was like, this is rich kid shit.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're eating, you'll usually eat at the cafeteria, like the meal hall or dining hall rather, or like the myriad of like broke kid restaurants that are set up for like, you got $4.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what we got.
Yeah, here's some Chinese food buffet that we've had on this display for since you've been in college.
Right.
Since you were in junior high.
Yes.
Also, RIP your blood pressure because this is just basically sodium with colors on
Oh,
it.
All you eat in college is just sodium. Is salt in various packages.
And, oh, that and Mulaney canola, joke where he's like, I didn't drink water once.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like, I would be like, man, look at that hippie with their Nalgene in class. I'm like, I'm still drinking.
I always just assumed there was liquor in that when people did that. It was like
not at Humboldt State University. That was a tried and true. Nalgenes were an essential fashion accessory.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Well, crunchy up there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, moving on.
Oh, North Face was the only brand that mattered. I do think there's a future for malls. It does make sense, not just for economic reasons, but colleges are set up to be malls in the traditional definition, not of commerce, but of a place of open-air walking from one function to the next.
Right.
Which is what a mall is theoretically supposed to be. Like the guy who made malls, the original founder of
Glenn
malls.
Mall.
Dr. Glenn Mall. Glenn,
yeah, it is like something grew in.
Honorary doctorate.
There is like an architect that made the first malls, and they were these, they were kind of designed to trap you in them, but also to make you interact with people.
Did you say Victor Gruen?
Yeah. But yeah, what we've done with the mall, his idea, is turn it upside down and ruin it. And he just would have hated the malls that became malls of current times, which kind of cracked me up. And this is a little closer to what malls
were. Well, he died in 1980.
You walk there. Like, the store becomes a part of your community because they fit blended in with the architecture and with everything else. So Trader Joe's isn't a standalone entity in your mind. Trader Joe's is part, it's seamed into your, where you live, where you study, where you work, and where you eat. I mean, it's sort of predatory, and it sort of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, yeah.
Well, Trader Joe's is actually trying to be part of a community.
Yes, Lululemon isn't. You know,
it's a different company. Yeah, I agree.
They're like,
with
we changed our name because we thought Asian people couldn't say it right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, when you, I thought that was a joke, and
oh,
then
you
I read articles
it?
About it. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay, but that activewear feels really great.
Oh, that's man, I just really got the joke, too. I just said it in my head where I was like, and they said it out loud.
As my mother would say it, Rururemon.
And those noises sound funny when you say them. You know what I mean? Those noises.
Yeah,
are,
man, got them. All right, let's sell some yoga mats.
God damn it.
Man, let's talk about another business that doesn't have their shit together. What does the New York Times call themselves? The paper of record? Or prestige journalism. Anyway, they are having a real hard time telling people what is happening on Earth in general.
Yeah, they can't.
There was an op-ed like after the shootings that said, you know, what for white nationalists who agree with the ideology but don't like the violence, they should talk to their other people. Like, what? They were like sort of saying that white nationalists need to self-police. Cut to when Trump gave that really empty gesture of a like unity speech, I guess. It was just a teleprompter where he didn't even know the difference between Dayton and Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah, that one was
the first cover or the first front page headline read, Trump urges unity versus racism.
It's not a great way to word that.
Wow. You mean guy whose fiery rhetoric is inspiring this kind of violence. But, you know, he's saying, but guys, I don't like white supremacy. It's bad. So I guess that's him urging unity. Or I guess he used words that technically could be defined as that, but completely missing the point about what this president means to many of these white nationalists.
That's his base.
Yeah. Well, then they, once enough people were like, what the fuck is this headline? Like, how could you even act as if this president is leading the country in any direction but south? Then there was like, assailing hate, but not guns. Okay.
I feel like, you know, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here a little bit because I feel like the way the newspapers and media works now is you have to, they don't know how to engage interaction. So a lot of it's this disingenuous thing where it's like the guy being like, here's how you save money not tipping. And knowing that the most of the world would be like, let's burn the whole thing down.
Right.
Because of that. So I think they are, they put these op-eds in there to fire people up because they know when they do that, they look at these stats, these analytics that say, hey, when we say this crazy shit, the money thing goes up.
Right. I mean, that aside, I think the front page isn't an op-ed. And my biggest criticism with the New York Times right now is based on this headline, which obscures the actual reality of what the country is in right now. To say that the president was urging unity is not true. I think he disingenuously tried to come off as an empathetic leader and failed terribly.
Yeah.
And I think this, for anyone who isn't quite, you know, as engaged with the news, they'll read that and be like, oh, I guess the president, okay, so I guess he's urging unity versus racism. Rather than Trump is encouraging racism versus unity.
It's also just framing the language, which every mm-hmm. good tyrant does, which when Trump says he opposes white supremacy, that's because he's already given you a whole language that means that isn't those words.
Mm-hmm.
Because his base knows that those words are the bad words that you're not supposed to be or say, but you can say immigration, you can say infestation,
invasion.
You can say go back home, you can say lock them up, you can say all of that stuff to mean the same thing. So he's just parroting back like, no, 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 kids, we're still not, we're still not Nazis, but yes, we can have detention centers and yes, we can have,
right.
You know, it's...
It's those assholes that, and it's, okay, here's an example of where I learned it a long time ago, that the terminology, getting rid of words will never make it go away
mm-hmm.
because I went to see this guy I went to high school with, he worked on a farm and him and these guys lived together, we were young. And I went to drink with them all weekend. They kept talking about seeing these Canadians. There were a bunch of Canadians there, blah, blah. And at first I was like, that's weird that they hate these Canadians the way they're saying it. Come to find out, they were just talking about black people. And they were saying Canadians instead of the N-word because they knew that they couldn't say that anymore. And once it took me a day and a half to figure it out.
Yeah.
Also because we were in Missouri.
Right.
So it was like, there might have been like four black people that they saw
right.
in this fucking farm town. So it made me, like, that's when I realized, like, oh, they're just going to, they could say concrete or whatever word.
Right, that well,
they,
yeah.
It's just the hate that comes with it. And that's what he's doing. He can just say, like you said, like, it's just immigration or, you know, it's like.
It's that dog whistle, baby.
It's me saying the word. I have a bit about this in my act. It's like my wife is Jewish. Me saying that with my accent, some people cringe because it sounds hateful. Because the people that have said Jew with my accent have said it in a hateful way for years.
Right. Uh-huh.
So it's just and they don't know how to frame it either. I think that's
I think they do. I think that's my problem with the New York Times. They think they've always been, for a paper of record, they are a white-ass record.
And, oh, without a doubt.
I mean, I was poking around on my phone trying to find some of their historic headlines that make this headline no surprise. And because this one's making so much noise, it's a little harder to find. But let's not forget hits like Negro cocaine fiends are a new Southern menace. Murder and insanity increasing among lower-class blacks because they have taken to sniffing since deprived of whiskey by prohibition.
Oof.
This
and
is
that
turn
was
of
2002,
the century. Yeah. But it reads like, I mean, go to the 80s and you're looking at the same headlines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, exactly the same headlines.
Right.
They've been politicizing issues. This paper in particular politicizes social and racial issues in the worst frames possible, and they have for a long time, and it's a very weird white tradition where, like, we're not racist, so nothing can be racist, so we're going to figure out how this isn't about race or racism.
Right.
And the New York Times during this time frame of turn of the century, last century, during this Negro cocaine fiends article mm-hmm. craze, was running articles about how war veterans are suffering because of their post-war injuries. What they were taking for those post-war injuries was cocaine, and they were losing their fucking minds. Mm-hmm. It was prescribed. It was in the Sears Roebuck catalog. It was
it
just
does
ugly.
Make you
it
feel good
everywhere.
When you take it.
Yes, of course it
does.
It most certainly
does. It
does
make you feel really good.
But it comes with this other host of problems that we couldn't blame on veterans. So we only looked at the problems when they happened to people who weren't white veterans.
Right.
And then we made them criminals.
Right.
And we, like, it's...
It's wealthy liberals is who we're talking about.
It is exactly wealthy liberals. And it doing we're doing the same thing by letting Trump take the language of, you know, he can say he's not white supremacist because the New York Times will print his opinions about immigration as if it's news that isn't racist.
Right. That's like, this is what he said, rather than this president has unacceptable views that society
and it's an old trick to sell papers is constant conflict. And even when there's not conflict, they create it to sell papers.
This is a bizarre, what an era to think that there's that you have to manufacture conflict in.
But right. That's what
imagine
I'm saying.
Imagine being
whatever,
a journalist in this time and saying you got to make something
but
up.
But they're not, we're not talking about actual journalists mm-hmm. when we're talking about, like there are real journalists.
I mean, there are, to their credit, there are some good journalists at the New York Times.
Yes, but that's not who we're talking
exactly.
about.
That's
right.
The
right.
frustrating part. We're going to have a longer discussion about this headline than we did about the story the New York Times broke about Donald Trump's financial history, right. revealing the dirty tricks he's been up to with his family since he was literally 3 years old and mm-hmm. was given a trust.
But there's no conflict there because it's just fact.
Yes.
That's a rich guy story.
And it's fact. Yeah. It's just a fact that we all go, yep, but how do we stop it? They've got to stop talking like this mm-hmm. so dumb people don't understand. We need to start communicating. And that's part of what you're saying with the New York Times is like, my thing with them is like it's the same as wealthy liberals. It's like when I moved to Seattle, I thought, oh, cool, I'm going to this bastion of progressiveness. And right. I come from this little town in East Tennessee, and then I get there, and I'm like, where the fuck is all the black people?
Yeah, gone.
Right.
Yes.
You know, and you're like, oh.
They're like, oh, they live in a different part of town.
You're like, oh. And then you hear, like, people that are liberal or whatever call the black part of town the ghetto, and you're like, that's not a ghetto.
Yeah, right.
That's where black people live. That's a neighborhood.
But that's
I can show you a ghetto.
Yeah.
Because, again, even like you were saying, there's not a – we haven't had a reckoning with the racism of this country. America, like, you know, I was saying this yesterday – gold medal in deluding ourselves that we never did anything wrong ever, and we're
it's
so
incredible.
Innocent, and we're amazing. So racism,
Santa Monica.
Us?
It's Santa Monica,
right? Yeah, no, exactly. 100%.
And it's one of the most liberal cities in the world,
and it's also a hotbed for young fascists.
Yes.
Well, let's talk. You know, speaking of inability to hold themselves accountable, the GOP is just doing a great job of that. I guess they didn't learn their lesson from the absolute thrashing they got in the midterms over their inability to just read the general vibe of the country and what people want. You know, so right now, in the wake of the shootings, people are asking for, they're clamoring. They're literally saying, do something, screaming that at legislators to do something about gun control and to take white nationalism seriously as an actual domestic terror threat. And the GOP, they're doing not that much. A lot of empty words. Lindsey Graham was like, yeah, I could back a red flag bill, but also said maybe states should handle that problem first, and then we can do something at a national level. That is not a response, right? And it just...
It's a playbook. It's a playbook.
No, 100%. But again... when you look at the midterms, there were people who won swing districts on gun control. You know what I mean? And a lot of people are like, that's not going to work.
But here's my thought on this, because I do like strategy and I enjoy that stuff. I think this group of quote-unquote GOP that we're talking about, they don't give a shit what their constituents think. I think that there's some weird coup being planned. The way it's all this weird audition, like all these congressional hearings, and when they, you know, I like beer, that's all auditioning. Like Lindsey Graham saying in those speeches, that Jordan dude from Ohio, it's some kind of fascist theater. So when something happens, they don't care if they get elected anymore or not. I don't think that's the way they're viewing this.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be in power forever. Like they have that. And I don't like saying that. But that's the only thing that lines up.
Strategically. Well, when you think about this, when like Ted Cruz is like, we need to make anti-fascists a terrorist group.
Exactly.
So if a group that is anti-fascist is illegal and is a terrorist group, that would indicate that perhaps the government itself is a fascist government.
It's just a little bit fascist.
Yep.
So, you know, but again, when you take those things into account, but I think also at the moment, right, there is an ability still to possibly participate in some kind of representative democracy here with voting. But I do agree that they do have this attitude. It's like, well, we got this other card we can play.
Yeah.
And we're not going to play it yet. But like there is this really eerie calm. And it's either they feel like they have another card they can play, or it's just this inability to actually see what else is going on too, because things are changing rapidly.
I don't think the American public will protest and walk out of their jobs if they take power. Mm-hmm. I hope they're wrong, but I understand that bet that they're betting on.
Mm-hmm. That people are just complacent enough to be like, well,
yeah,
is the Wi-Fi working?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And the Knicks are still playing?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
Maybe. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, we've already been slow boiling to this point when you just think of everything that's been happening. And again, just to go along with it now, too, even people who are within the party who are speaking out against the GOP, like Republicans themselves, they're just going after them. So in Nebraska, the Republican Party called for a state senator, John McAllister, to just re-register as a Democrat because he got some attention on Sunday after he's saying the Republican Party, this is a quote, is enabling white supremacy in our country. As a lifelong Republican, it pains me to say this, but it's the truth. So they're like, oh, you know what? Why don't you just change your why don't you just change to Democrat then, if you're going to talk like that, rather than, you know, engaging, saying, yeah, maybe this is a thing because this is someone who is somewhat reasonable and looking at objectively what's going on, saying this is not a good look. McAllister at that point just said he would like love to do it because he would be able to tell his constituents the truth for once. So, and he basically said that a lot of the activity in the Republican Party described it, quote, as obvious racist and immoral activity inside our party. And then this is what's happening. So now they're screaming out the people who are trying to bring reason into the party. But I guess that's part of this evolution that's happening. It's like, well, hold on, man. We already took the fucking mask off. We already know this is what it is. So if you have a problem with racism, then go be a Democrat.
That is the message.
You know what I mean?
Which is an insane message to put forward. Like, you know, blind pride in your party is one thing, but like, oh, you don't like racism? Go to the other side then.
How dare you describe our party with accuracy? Get the fuck out. I'm not trying to wake up.
Yeah.
Snooze the fuck out on that one, please. And then also, you also look at sort of what's happening in Texas too. You know, there was a shooting in El Paso. And there's this I think Trump could be visiting today or tomorrow. There's a lot of hesitation because they're like, it's precisely because of the way you're speaking and the person's manifesto is echoing
literally
your words.
Quoting you.
Yeah. We don't really want you here. But there's a lot of fear on the right about where Texas is headed because, we've talked about this in the past, but if Texas, you know, as it goes from red to now it's starting to get purplish, the second it goes to blue and you look at all the states that are locked in as blue states, there is no path to 270 electoral votes for the Republicans at that point. There just aren't. And that's an existential threat that they're having to really look at because they've been very rigid in their policies and slowly, as everything
else
evolves.
They've also underestimated how strong a woman is in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they've went after women
right. In
Texas more than a lot of other places in the South. But what they don't understand is women control that household. Whether those men act like it or not, women control that household.
I mean, some of the most memorable Texas leaders.
Ann Richards.
Yeah, some boss-ass ladies.
Yes. And I mean, I go to Texas quite a bit. I will never live there, but the spirit there is contagious, and I love it. But I understand it to a certain degree. And it's like the South, too, is like, these motherfuckers are going to push and push, and these women will take a lot. Because they always have, and they've been taught how to.
Right.
But there's a point, and they've reached it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this new generation below these women that aren't married and don't give a fuck.
Right.
But they've got that same spirit, and that's scary.
Yeah.
And I'm very attracted to that type of woman. That's who I'm sexually attracted to is a little pushback. That's the reason I married a little Jewish woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's my
get
type.
In your face, yeah.
I need someone to tell me shut the fuck up because I won't.
Right.
But that's
someone says shut the fuck up, that's foreplay.
She's got the right spunk, yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, depending on what I'm saying. Right. Yeah, and how I'm acting. For sure it is. And it's also this thing of like, Texans also recognize an enemy. the true enemy. Mm-hmm. And for a while, they were scared because they politicized some immigrants coming up and causing some problems. Now, mm-hmm. it was cartel shit, and they made it seem like it was normal shit. That's a political move they did. But Texans are smart, and that's why they're so armed. It was a lot of people that went there because they like fighting. And then they're like, hey, there's a lot of space. Let's hang out here.
Right, right, right.
So, but they can recognize that, oh, the true enemy now is not these poor people who've been helping us farm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's these crazy motherfuckers.
Right, right, right.
Who we've been kind of backing because they scared us into thinking they were taking our guns and shit.
Right.
But they're starting, it's starting to come around generationally, yeah. too.
And, I mean, since Texas also, they have the nation's fastest growing cities, that means the suburbs are also swelling.
Yeah.
And the suburbs are all voting in a very similar way, which is they are going, they're moving blue.
Yeah.
And that's why even donors, right? So there's Dan Eberhardt, who is, you know, a donor, oil, gas executive, who said straight up, he's like, Republicans are going to be extinct in the suburbs if they don't distance themselves from the NRA. The GOP needs to put forth solutions to help eradicate this gun violence epidemic. This is from a Trump-supporting oil and gas man who is saying, like, I know what the fuck is going on. Like, if you don't sort this shit out, I don't know who the fuck. You're going to have to create bots to vote for you, which they might do.
Well, they already done that.
And again, this same donor is saying needs to make a lot of moves, like universal background checks, loopholes. And, like, this is all coming from, you know, these donors, the people who are backing it financially. And to then follow that up, again, he says, otherwise Republicans are going to lose suburban voters just like they did in the midterms on health care. So they're in a bit of a tough spot. But again, I don't know. The way I'm looking at it, it's either they're going to not change or maybe there's this weird Trump card, pun intended, that we don't know about.
Well, they'll cheat.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying. I mean,
I think that's the attitude I think they're really taking.
It's
more
just fuck it, the courts, pack the courts, fucking gerrymander the fuck out of this
gerrymander,
place.
Gerrymander, we will prevent people. That's been their move. They've been setting this up since they declared abortion a political issue. They've been setting up how to gain power in the 60s. They've started gerrymandering there. They started figuring out how the, and the Democrats don't, because they're not, and it's just a, like, I think it's a core people foundation issue is like, and the good thing is, like, I think there's more people that lean left in the world than lean right. It's mm-hmm. just the people that lean hard right are super fucking motivated.
Right.
It's like evangelical, fanatical, religious people. They're very motivated. They're the loudest, and they're not going to chill out and be like, you want to go to the park and just smoke some weed and play with our dogs? Right, they're like, right. No, let's...
We got to figure out what the fuck we're going
to
do.
Let's figure out how to manipulate the system so that we gain all the power.
Right.
And it's like, we just need more motivated good time people.
It's two legalized forces. So left and right have competing forces. If the good-natured side of both left and right, conservative and liberal, whatever labels fucking apply anymore, I don't know or care. But the fundamental fight is between self-preservation and altruism. Two natural forces that drive us, two necessary forces, two forces that need balance in order to be effective. You have to preserve yourself. You have to take care mm-hmm. of your own being so that you can take care of others, even if you want it. You know, the two work together. And more traditionally, a conservative philosophy sort of says that if you and yours are okay, then you will be able to move through the world without causing harm. Whereas, you know, whatever the liberal side sort of believes is like, well, if we all take care and are, you know, invested in one another, then we'll all be able to move through okay.
Right.
Positive forces. Each one of those sides has a negative force as well that wants to take and control that. We've enjoyed brief stints in our history where there were sort of polite leaders who had that more, I don't know, the light side of conservatism and liberalism. We've had those leaders at the helm. And right now we have
balance. You're talking about balance.
I am talking about a balance. Yeah.
And that's the idea.
But with a philosophical intent, and we have a different philosophical intent that's predatory. And honestly, it's so easy to say Democrats are spineless and don't stand up to the Republicans. But that's I think we're missing a split where right now there isn't a predatory arm that's very alive in liberal politics. And conservative politics do have a predatory arm that's alive, and it's eating up all the conservatives. Actual conservatives are drowning. The people who just think that if we take good care of ourselves, we can take good care of others have no place in the Republican Party currently. Mm-hmm. It's being devoured by horrible predators.
Right.
And I mean, it is hard to watch. It's a shame because I do believe as a way too liberal person that there's a necessary balance, that I'm interested in a conservative counterpoint. Mm-hmm. But this is not it, and they're gone, and there's no home for them in their party. Welcome right. to our side. Come on over.
Come
we
on
need
over.
You over well, here,
the,
I guess.
The, yeah, the here weird thing about the conservatives at this point, because the way I've always understood it, and the way I've always liked to look at it, is like people change and ideas change, and that's why liberalism can kind of change mm-hmm. and will always progress, because our understanding and our world is always progressing. Where conservative is, you know, it's usually a policy thing. And I think you're totally right, where it's not about policy difference anymore. Like most conservatives I knew growing up were just more like, numbers never change business. And you're like you're saying, like, I take care of my own. I've always had a problem with that to a certain degree, because I like to go where it's the Levon Helm way of thinking, like, you take what you need and you leave the rest.
Yeah.
Where a lot of...
Give what you got, keep what you need. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
well, that's the thing, is like, they're not, it became more greedy, and it became less about policy and more about like, you got to get yours at any cost. And I think that came from the 80s is when that was really sparked, is when that corporate puppet, and that's what he is. Ronald Reagan was a corporate, he was a fucking shill before mm-hmm. he was a politician. That's why he was an actor. He was just a commercial actor is what he mostly was.
He was a bag of flesh that you could needed to say what it had to.
And he was good at saying stuff. Mm-hmm. I will admit that. He's great to listen to. Great orator. But that greed, we stopped sending all our most talented, smartest people to learn how to better humanity and reward them for it, and we sent them to Wall Street because that's where all the money is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the power is. And it's been that for 40 years, and now we're reaping that.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe there'll be bright days ahead, but we won't know until after this commercial break.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. And very quickly, I just want to touch on Aaron Carter. He's got a little bit...
Aaron Carter, party starter. Darren.
He is in a little bit of hot water because apparently he went to go rescue a bulldog. And then this rescue facility was like, oh, we're so happy Aaron Carter gave this new dog a forever home. Like, you know, please send us pictures. He went on Instagram Live maybe a day or two later, maybe that day. And was talking, he's like, this is my new dog. Check it out. You know, hopefully I'll be able to keep it. You know, I don't know if I'll be able to, you know, if I might be on the road or whatever. But if I can't keep it, you know, I can sell him for $3,500. And, you know, he's a good dog. And hopefully I can be able to keep him. But, you know, if you want, like, if I'm not able to, maybe for $3,500, you could buy him, DM me. And then people were like, hold the fuck on. Is Aaron Carter just flipping this rescue dog for money? And is this something he's doing?
I hope so.
He comes out with a tweet that says, I think it's appalling that I actually even have to explain myself. I've rescued many dogs and found many dogs' homes. What I said in my Instagram Live video was a joke. Find one dog that I adopted and sold for money. Be my guest. Won't happen. I'm a good person and I deserve respect. Sure, it could be a joke. But when you say the price many times and not like, ha, 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 like, and you're trying to create a logical reason as to why you could sell the dog, I'm failing to see the joke. Now, you two are very familiar with jokes. You do them professionally.
Here's the thing. I don't like defending Aaron Carter. I don't. I didn't come here to be in that position.
No, I hear you.
But
this isn't that cut and dry.
He said it was like he was asking $3,500 for the bulldog.
Yeah.
That's a lot for a bulldog. You can get a puppy for $1,500, which is a lot for a dog, period.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
you get them for free.
You can get a brand new puppy for $1,500. That's why I think he's joking. I don't think he's a comedian. I think that's part of the problem when people like him or pretty women or athletes think they're funny. It's because their fans laugh at them because they didn't
act.
I'm
right here, Billy.
I'm sorry, Caitlin. I know. But do you understand what I'm saying? Where it's like these guys think they're funny because all these fans laugh at them when they do something silly.
Yeah.
So their idea of a joke isn't...
It's like when I just say something that I don't mean.
Yes.
That's a joke.
Yes.
That's very funny.
Yes.
And not actually jokes.
Right.
No, it's a lie. Is
it
what
does. It is. It's an alarming in your defense when you're like, show me a dog that I've adopted that I didn't keep. Find a picture of one of the dogs I adopted but didn't keep. Go
right.
ahead, find the evidence. Like
you
it
won't
does
find
suggest
it. Yeah.
that maybe there are some dogs you adopted that you didn't keep.
And if it was a joke or something, I mean, again, maybe a lot of people respond very viscerally to things on the internet.
Sure.
And they feel they have to defend themselves. If it was, in fact, a joke and you've never done that, you might not even dignify that shit with a response. Be like, dude, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, even then, because in your mind is like, this is going to go nowhere because I've never sold a dog. So there's no way they could even follow this up aside from just me saying that.
We're also talking about a guy who was a pop star when he was like 12.
Yeah.
So his brain isn't.
I think what we're
learning
trying,
a lot. We're
is
trying
that
to put
Aaron
normal
Carter
stuff in
needs
his brain.
$3,500. I think that's what we're discovering.
I feel
the
like.
The implication of like, I got a dog yesterday, but who knows? I could be on the road is like, you'd know. You'd know
right, right.
when and where. And yet, theoretically, you could be doing a state fair somewhere, Aaron Carter, but I'm going to guess you might not get $3,500.
Right, right, right.
I bet he does. I bet
know.
He gets $35.
Do
bet.
You think, yeah, what did you say for
if he's doing a state
venues,
fair?
Do you think Aaron Carter's doing state fairs?
No.
Am I underestimating his appeal or overestimating?
I can tell you where, I can tell you where he's
going to say that
he's going to be at the...
Don't lie.
Indiana State Fair.
Oh,
yes.
On August 9th.
Got it.
Yeah. Then the Capitol Theater in Flint, Michigan. And then some other stuff, too.
That's mean. Flint deserves better.
Well, no, it's a mid-market, and I think that's what it's getting.
That's fair.
And I think he's getting probably at least $15,000 or $20,000.
You think $15,000? To do a state? What about for a state fair?
Yes.
That's free admission, though.
Yes, but it's not free admission. It's to free admission to the concert.
Sure.
Yeah, oh, and it costs money to get into the fair. And then they're making, like, I just know some people that have done that fair circuit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot it's of check. It's a lot. There's a reason they do
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
right.
It's a ton of fucking money for one show.
Well, Zyte Gang, if you have insider information on the financial situations of state fairs, please let us know because I really want to go to a state fair actually very soon.
I worked at a county fair for a number of years. I can't give you any state fair secrets.
See, like that Minnesota.
But I can say the county fair is a hustle. They make a lot of money.
They make a ton of they money or they wouldn't money. Do it
yeah.
every year.
Yeah. Anywhere where it's deep fried hell, just take me there. Okay, well, Caitlin, thank you so much for being with us
today.
What
a treat
today.
It was.
You're going on the road soon, right?
I am.
Tell people where they can find you and follow you and see you live.
Yes, please. Zyte Gang, I have so many shows coming up all over the West. Don't worry, East Coast, I'm coming soon. But if you're in the Bay Area, August 15th through 17th, I'm all over Santa Cruz, San Francisco, Petaluma. And then I head north. If you're in Eureka, come see me the 22nd. If you are in Salem, Oregon, come see me on the 23rd. After that, I'm in Portland on the 28th. What's up, Helium? I need all the Zyte Gang in Seattle to swarm on Fremont Abbey on the 30th. That's me and Jackie Cation. That is going to be an awesome show.
Yeah.
And then I head out to Boise, Idaho for the 208 Comedy Fest. If you're in Boise, come. It's going to be super fun. And then I am in Denver right before High Plains for a High Plains preview show at High Dive. So
nice.
Denver buddies, please come out. And then back to LA.
Oh, I know there's Zyte Gang in Colorado.
September 22nd at Dynasty Typewriter. I would like to see Zyte Gang everywhere. I will be, of course, selling my brand new album, Major, after the shows. But I am mainly there to give high fives. So please come high my five
there
and tell me that you are a Zyte Ganger. And I would be delighted. To see your sweet faces.
Billy, what about you? Where can people find you, follow you, support you, love you, see
if you?
If you
at Billy Wayne Davis on Twitter or Instagram, that's usually the ones I keep up with. And then all my tour dates are at bwdtour.com. And I will be, I was a consultant, creative consultant, because it's a fancy word for writer when they can't pay you like a writer.
Mm-hmm.
On the new season of Squidbillies that comes out next week.
Nice.
And I'm doing some voices on some episodes that we haven't recorded yet.
Oh, shit. Well,
it's fun when
their eyes open.
They're like, oh, it's coming out next week. Also, we're going to do some episodes in 3 weeks. And you're like, what?
Oh,
I'm nervous.
Oh, I forgot to ask. Caitlin, is there a tweet that you're liking? Something you read. You're like,
Hilarious good buddy Kevin O'Shea tweeted out. I took a picture of it so I could get it right. I'm going to open it up, but I remember it. This is a Kevin O'Shea tweet. Comedians in cars picking up their 17-year-old girlfriends from high school.
Oh, man. That is accurate.
Yeah.
It is
Jerry.
Accurate.
Comedians in Porsches picking up their seven. I think that was
picking up their girlfriends at a park.
Yeah, yes.
I believe is the story of that one. What about you, Billy?
I mean, I've got to just give it out to the man that replied to Jason Isbell with the legitimate question about gun control. What are you going to do when 30 to 50 feral hogs are coming at your children while they're playing in the yard?
3 to 5 minutes. Yep.
That is maybe the best tweet of all time.
Yeah. It's a great response, man. It overtook Twitter comedy culture yesterday. Everything became feral hog world.
And I couldn't, normally I hate when that happens.
Yeah, but some of these are tickling me.
Well, yesterday it was just like, this is the funnest thing I've ever seen.
This is from the Dan Stringer. Take me down to the Paradise City where the hogs are feral in the 3250. Yeah, there's a few
That's
great ones.
Perfect.
That is a pretty great one. 30 to 50 feral hogs.
That would be
at this time of year in this part of the country, localized entirely within your yard. That's for my Simpsons fans.
Well, it's okay.
The answer is landmines.
They do go get feral. It is the thing that happens, and there are like packs of them. There's never 30 to 50.
Maybe where
the
you
reason,
live.
Well, the reason I know this is because my truly conservative friend, who's not a dingbat, he's just a conservative person. He and I, and he'll admit when things are crazy. He's not tribal about stuff.
Yeah.
And we were talking about AR-15s, mm-hmm. and he was a Marine,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, I was like, when do we need one? He's like, I can't answer that. 3 days later, he sent me an article. He's like, I found a reason why we actually would need one. And it's like in the middle of Texas in these huge ranches.
Right.
That these hogs get loose and they become packs and then they just kind of fuck up stuff.
Right.
So they go in helicopters with machine guns and they take care of them. But they're out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And they're messing up land.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you should have a machine gun, but there should also be a crazy permit like to go kill a grizzly bear. Right. Where you have to get that gun or there's like you have to hire the National Guard to go do it for you.
They're like, sir, I think you have an AR. Are you hog certified?
That's what I'm saying. Right. Use like a feral hog permit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's fine. And it should be really fucking hard to get.
Oh, boy. Man, I wish.
There was a great tweet. It's not a tweet. It's a video that I retweeted from YouTube. Somebody took MIA song. What's the... Paper Planes? Yes, Paper Planes.
That's MIA, yeah.
Diplo.
Thank you. MIA and Diplo. Credit to both. And replaced all the gunshots with musket shots. You know the chorus, and you know it's gunshots, and you know how fast, boom, yeah, it's just bang, 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 bang.
Right.
Right in a row. When you replace them all with musket shots, the song is 12 minutes long.
Oh, so they do to actually prime it, get the wadding in.
Exactly. All I want to do is bang. You know, pebbles go in, hit just ram them down with a stick, re-aim, boom. Pebbles go in, ram it down with the stick, boom. It's the best, and it's the best argument for gun control I have ever heard. There is no better argument you need.
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like is from Rachel Sennott, at Rachel Sennott says, if I wasn't a successful actress, then how would I have this tote bag that says HBO?
Yeah!
Which is everyone in the Southern California area. You can find the Daily Zeitgeist at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page. We got a website, actually, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our
footnotes.
Oh, thank you, Billy. Where we post those and our songs that we write out on. This day, today, will be a track by Bugseed, and it's called Chapter. And it's just like, you know, a little sample-based hip-hop. Just easy listening. Just keep it, you know, find some balance. You know what I mean? We all need it. It's all about balance right now. So ride out on that, and we will see you tomorrow because it is a daily show. And don't forget, this show is a production of iHeartRadio. And if you want more, check out the iHeartRadio app or the Apple Music app or wherever you get your podcasts. But just keep on getting. And please leave a review, please. It helps us out a lot. All right, until then, we love you. God bless you, and good night, or good afternoon, or good morning. Bye.
Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.